So just before we open up the Word of God this morning, we're going to flip into Hebrews chapter 11. And just pause for a moment. Let's just pray. God, we just pray that as we open your Word, that we would hear from heaven, that we would hear from you, God. God, we don't take this Bible lightly. We want to hear and change and experience you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us. You're with every person in every household. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll jump into verse 24. It says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward." Now, I want to unpack this whole piece of scripture with you. And just a couple thoughts that start me off here is that we have a reward in heaven because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And the more we compromise, the more we give in to sin, the more we jeopardize that kind of reward, the more we devalue what Jesus has done for us. And to compromise, if we're to look up the meaning of that, is to accept standards that are lower than desirable. God hasn't set up low standards for us. He set up high standards for us, heavenly standards, and God wants us to obey them. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "Rather or therefore, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Clothe ourselves with the Word of God. Clothe ourselves with prayer. Bathe ourselves in the presence of God so that we will not have a desire, be tempted by the things of this world. An interesting story is as we've been cleaning up the church, Nancy got together all the lost and found. She tried to find the homes for all these jackets and different things. And before she sent it over to the Salvation Army, I humbly went through it and took a few items for my children. So I went home, as a good father would do, parenting 101, you check the pockets, right? You're like, what are these rocks doing in here? You don't want to put that in the washing machine. And you're like, there's a piece of pizza over here. And you're like, what's this frog doing in there? So you have to go through the pockets. And as I was going through the pockets, there was money in one of the jackets. And, I got thoughts about, well, that was a lost and found jacket, and I've now inherited it, and I'm going to wash it, and maybe that's my money. But then I had these thoughts about, it's the church's jacket that somebody lost, and maybe it's the church's money. So I honestly brought the money back, and I gave it back to the church. I wanted to do the right thing because I don't want to be anywhere close to compromise. I know this is just a simple story, but I want to be as far away from sin as possible and compromise. I want to be close to God, because if God can't trust me with those little things, how is he ever going to trust me with something big? Although I have to be pretty honest with you that I've had my hand in the cookie jar here in the last little while. We call it the cookie freezer. Now, there's been cookies, baked goods that we have for coffee connection time, but we haven't met for months. Those things are going to get freezer burnt. Somebody should probably eat those. So I've had my hand in the cookie freezer. And on that point, I need to say this, though. If we've got some really good cooks in this church, that's all we need to end on that. Let's continue to unpack this piece of scripture. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, the very first thing it says here, it says that when he had grown up, when Moses had grown up, Moses here is probably around the age of 40. He's very mature. He's, come into maturity. He's moved from milk, and now he's receiving meat in a sense. You think about our own children. At some point, they grow up. We continue to pray for them that they would grow up in a sense. But at some point, they become men and women. They're not children anymore. And what we look for in their lives is this, is that a sign of immaturity would be when they would easily fall into temptation and the enjoyment and the compromises of this world. But a sign of maturity is that they would say no to any kind of offer. They would say no with confidence to any kind of sin or compromise. They would say no to that because I have a greater worth and I have a greater purpose and I have a greater calling and I can't lower my standards and compromise my heavenly position and give in to sin. That would be our response that we would want to pray for our kids. And Moses here is responding that way. In the second half of the verse, it says this, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses is really in a difficult position here. Moses stood to inherit the whole world, the Egyptian empire, to be well taken care of, to be well connected, to be well known, because Pharaoh's daughter was raising Moses in the palace. Like, it is beautiful. It is pristine. I mean, money flowing like milk and honey. Moses owed his life to Pharaoh's daughter because she rescued him out of the river. Moses was for sure going to die as a kid. Nobody would have taken care of him. He would have just went downstream and they would have never saw him again. He really owed a lot to Pharaoh's daughter. But for Moses to refuse this kind of kindness would almost be ingratitude, it would be looked upon. Why wouldn't you continue to live in the house? Why wouldn't you continue to be, you know, a son or daughter of Pharaoh? But Moses refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, as it would look like he was renouncing his birth origin as a member of Israel, of God's people. So really, Moses at this point in his maturity, he came to his senses. And he said, I'm a child of God, and I belong somewhere else. This reminds me of a great Old Testament story in Genesis chapter 25. And in Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 29, it says, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. Said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. I've been out working all day. I'm starving. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. He swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. You see, Esau was willing to trade his birthright to his brother for some stew. You see, he didn't have any value. He just didn't understand his worth. He didn't understand the significance of what God was trying to give him. So let us be in the same breath, not compromise our lives for the objects and pleasures of this world and reject the fact that we're first and foremost a child of God. And to have anything else to do with compromise and sin is to jeopardize what God did on the cross for us. Let's continue to unpack this in verse 25 of Hebrews. It says that Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. See, Moses was willing to take a position with the slaves and the suffering people rather than to enjoy all the pleasures in this, you know, of Pharaoh's house. Moses chose rather to suffer with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures that, you know, for a season in Pharaoh's house. The pleasures of sin and compromise will be short-lived. You think, well, it's going to be some fun. It'll be enjoyable. But then there's always the aftermath of that. You know, it's painful, and there's suffering that involves. And when we give in to compromise and to sin, we need to quickly repent and get right with God, come back to God, because otherwise it's going to be a speedy downfall. The more we compromise, the more we lie, the more that we sin, the bigger the shovel gets, the deeper we put ourselves in holes. I can remember when I was first saved, days and even weeks prior to my salvation, man, I gave in to all kinds of compromise and sin. All the desires of the world were just, you know, beckoning and calling to me. And I got saved. I got radically saved, cold turkey saved. I remember there was just no desire anymore. There was no thirst anymore. I had no more cravings anymore of the things that I just thought, you know, I was enjoying the house of Pharaoh. I was enjoying all of those compromises. Because at that point, when I got saved, I just knew that I knew that I was a child of God and there was a different direction for my life. And if I gave into that any longer, it would lead me down a dark path. So I had to say no, and I had to not compromise in any way. I honestly lost a lot of my friends at that time. I just wasn't willing to compromise myself anymore, and that didn't jive with them anymore. So Moses chose to be with the slaves and suffer rather than to compromise who he was. In verse 26, it goes on to say, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. See, Moses had to weigh the options out. You know, the palace and, oh man, the pleasures, and that you can have anything you want. And he had to weigh out, you know, God and God's plans for his life and purpose. And in the palace, you could have anything you wanted. You could even have things that weren't even yours. If you think back to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when King David should have been out to battle, out at work, he's just looking out his front window and he notices this woman and he says, I would like to have that, brings her into his palace. Obviously, you know, is now his wife, kills off the husband. And we think, like, that's kind of the wrong thinking here. So you have that option. You can be like that. You know, even King David, he really had the power and authority and he had the position to compromise, to give in to sin. And he took full advantage of it. So Moses here has got to decide, does he want to live like that, where he could just desire and have anything he wants, the pleasures of the whole world, the biggest empire of the time, or is he going to serve God? Is he going to go down to where the slaves are and God's suffering people? But that's where God was calling him, and he was obedient to that. He fixed his eyes on Jesus and not on the pleasures that were so short-lived of the earth. This reminds me of another great Old Testament story in Joshua chapter 7. And in Joshua chapter 7, in verse 19, it says, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted it. I compromised myself. I gave in to sin, and I took them. And they are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. You know, when I read that story, I kind of almost don't blame Achan for doing something like that. If you could picture God's people, Israelite, wandering in the desert, lost in the desert, you know, barely anything to take care of themselves. Obviously, God's providing for their every need, providing for their, you know, their manna, providing for all of that. They come into and they begin to see the treasures of the world. Jericho, huge city, tons of, you know, wealth, tons of possessions. And you haven't had anything for years, and finally there's an opportunity for you to get ahead or, you know, gain something, and he takes it. Because he wasn't satisfied with what God was offering, what God was doing. He wanted more than, you know, he was entitled to, in a sense. And I think the reason that we look for other things and other treasures and possibly women and so on is because we feel that God is not providing enough and taking care of our needs. So we got our eyes fixed on something else. And that is such a slippery slope of thinking because it's contrary to God's word. God said, I will be your provider. I will be your comforter. I will be your everything. Everything you need, I can provide for you. To give in, to compromise, and to sin is to say that God's not meeting my needs, and we need them to be met somewhere else, or with something else, or with someone else. And that's to absolutely compromise, again, the gospel. Compromise the cross. Let me finish by looking at one more Old Testament story. Joseph worked hard to get to where he was. And in Genesis chapter 29, we read in verse 6, now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me, exclamation point. Like she's saying, like, come to bed with me, like not kind of hiding, like, shh, come to bed with me, like just right out loud. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against my master? Sin against you, the wife? Sin against me? No, listen to what he says. This is brilliant. You need to highlight your Bible and mark it all up. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke of Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. See, that would have been such a compromise and such a short-term gain for him to do something like that. And he said, I can't do that because I'm a child of God, and I will be sinning against God if I compromise and give in to that. What a brilliant thought right there. Often we can find stories like that in the Bible, but when you find one, resonate there. Again, highlight your Bible. Look at the response that he had. He was not willing to bow down, as we looked at Moses' story. He was not willing to compromise anymore. We look at Joseph. He's not willing to give anymore. He just is saying, I'm a child of God, and to do anything like that would compromise, would be devaluing who I am in Christ. Listen to what it says in Psalm 119, verse 1 to 4. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and speak and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that they are to be fully obeyed. So in all of our ways, we're to fully obey Christ and what he's doing. As sin and compromise present themselves to you each and every day, you're going to be facing this challenge. Let us not give in to them and compromise who Jesus is and who Jesus is in our life. Let us always look at sin and compromise right in the face and say, I'm not going to give in to you because of who I am in Christ. I have a greater calling. I have a greater worth. I'm a child of God. Get behind me because God's on the move in my life. In Jesus' name, would you say amen to that? So just before we go our separate ways, I know a lot of us are interested in wondering as a church what we're doing in regards to having gatherings at our church or hosting services. I'd really like to spend some time before we close this morning and share some thoughts with you. I want you to know that as soon as COVID happened, our board, our leadership team, our pastoral team got together, and we really called a play. We called our first play, and I want to look at it in this regard, that as a coach, you know, we had to call a play. And our first play was to go online, like your experience this morning. I want you to know that this first play is never going to go away as we call other plays in the days and the months and years to come, that this first play is always going to be available. We will always be online. So if you're ever sick or you're on vacation, you will always be able to capture us online. But we're going to go a step further now. We're going to add a second play in the month of June. You're going to receive a mail out next week. You're going to get an email. It's going to be on TPA Connect, our social media, that we're going to begin to offer small gatherings. And I want to just shed some light on a few of them for us this morning. Quilting will begin to meet again this coming week. It's a small group of ladies under 10. They're going to do their physical distancing. The Youth Alpha will be moving from Zoom to actually meeting here in the building. There's a few leaders and a few youth, and they're going to do their, again, physical distancing here in the church. And then we're going to be offering some Bible studies. And you're going to be, again, receiving an email or a mail out to explain those details and the nights that they're going to be happening. Again, a small group of people, again, making sure we're physical distancing. And the last one and the most exciting one to me, not that those other ones aren't exciting, that's not good to say, but prayer meeting. We've been always having a small group of people get together on a Thursday and to pray. So again, we will be offering that this coming month. So that's our second play. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, like many of us are, what we are doing in regards to services. So we're just going to be offering play two right now for us in June. And I want you to know behind the scenes, though, the pastoral team, the board, the leadership team are meeting together. And we're looking at and analyzing the reports that were put out by our MLA, the report that was put out by our WorkSafe BC, and a report that was put out about figuring out how to reopen your church by our PEOC. So we're leaning in on all of these requirements, and we will be soon making a decision. I really want to encourage you to please pray for us, pray with us, pray for wisdom, because let's be realistic. Pastor Andrew and I have never walked a church through a pandemic. The board has never walked a church through a pandemic. Your leadership team has never had to make decisions like this ever before. So this is all fresh for us. So please pray for us. We're seeking God in all of this. We're excited to let you know about step two, in a sense, play number two right now. And we'll let you know as soon as we know, in a sense, what will be happening around services. In the meantime, just so we're clear, the youth group won't be meeting because they're 60-plus people. That's not going to pan out. The seniors' tea social can't happen. They're 80-plus people. So those things are on hold as well at this moment. And as soon as we make a decision or restrictions lift, we'll be calling other plays in the months to come. Until then, we thank you so much for joining us on YouTube, whether you found us on our website or our social media. I love you guys, and we look forward to seeing you very, very soon.